Good morning, good morning.
The agenda has changed this morning, so forgive me if I get lost. I'm usually lost, but I can hide it well. This morning I'm not going to be able to hide it. Glad to have all of you out. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh my goodness sakes, look at the group we have here. This is one of our main events as we came into the Christmas season, so those of you who are with us who don't usually attend here, you're very, very welcome. So very glad to have you with us this morning. Normally, we have a welcome time where we dismiss everybody and they meander around and welcome folks in. We're not going to do that today because I'm afraid we'll be able to get all of you back. So we're just going to say Merry Christmas. Glad to have you with us. Let's pause for just a moment and go before our Lord and welcome him and everyone else into our service today. Thank you. Lord and Savior, we thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you in music and in song. Music ministers to us in a special way, a meaningful way. We pray for today as our sanctuary choir and orchestra come, as they play, as they do what they have been doing in practice now for many, many months. We pray to bring honor and glory to you, that you be glorified. We pray to bring a smile to your face. And Lord, we ask that you lift us up in heaven through this music so we might celebrate your birth.
We pray all these things in the great name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you. Throughout their history, God's chosen people had heard promises and prophecies about God's plan for their nation. Many of these promises spoke of their Messiah, the Deliverer. These promises were a source of hope and comfort as the people endured war, captivity, and oppression. After the prophet Malachi, no new prophetic voice was heard in the land for hundreds of years. It was a time of spiritual darkness and discouragement. It was for a time like this that Isaiah wrote, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Even though Messiah's arrival was greatly anticipated and longed for, this promise was fulfilled in a most unexpected way. Promises of Christmas began in eternity past when God, through his wisdom and knowledge, formed a plan to redeem the fallen race of man. God put things into place years before the physical birth of Jesus. One of the first promises fulfilled in the Christmas event is the Star of Bethlehem. Mankind has always studied the heavens and looking for knowledge and signs. The Bible tells us in Psalms 19, 1 and 2, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." God created what we call the Star of Bethlehem years before the birth of Jesus. Whether it was a comet or a supernova or some other celestial event, it takes years for the light from other galaxies to reach the earth. God used a miracle in the night sky to reveal his plan to his people, and he fulfilled his promise in Numbers 24:17. "I shall see him, but not know. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Specific promise God fulfilled on the first Christmas was where the Messiah would be born. The prophet Micah said, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you be small among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth unto me he that is to be ruler of Israel." Bethlehem means house of bread. It was a tiny village that may have been a source of provisions for the area shepherds with their daily bread, and was also the birthplace of the shepherd king, David. So God has provided his people with guidance and sustenance through the good shepherd, who is the bread of life. The first Christmas worship service was conducted not in a temple or in a cathedral or in a synagogue, but in the great out of doors. The stars shone like diamonds in the cold, crisp sky. On the hills outside the little village of Bethlehem, the flocks had been gathered together and watch was being kept to protect them from the constant threat of roving wolves and marauding banquets. This little band of weary shepherds had followed the same routine for countless generations. Like most of the people of Palestine, they were poor and insignificant men from all outward appearances. They had no reason to expect that this night would be any different than any other. But God had other plans. This was the night that God Himself would come to earth. The dull routine of their lives was suddenly and dramatically shattered by the appearance of an angel. The tidings of Christ's birth echoed across the skies. The angel of the Lord proclaimed the good news to the lowly shepherds. The shepherds, though poor, were the first to receive this announcement. It is strange that the glad word was not first given to priests, scholars, or politicians. The Bible declares, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The news brought by the angel of the Lord on the night of Jesus' birth was the greatest news ever shared with mankind.
Of the field.
While the shepherds received the miraculous message of the birth of the Messiah with great joy, Mary endured the trauma of childbirth. She and Joseph were alone in a strange town, in a small, dark, and dirty stable. It was here that God chose to fulfill his promise to Mary and Joseph and to a race that needed a Savior. Here, Emmanuel, God with us, arrived in the form of the baby Jesus. God entered our world not with the pealing of bells or sounding of trumpets, but through the tears of childbirth and the cries of a newborn.
Come and behold me.
The shepherd's response to the angel's revelation was immediately to make search for this tiny baby, Savior of the world. When they saw with their own eyes all the angels had said was true, they told everyone they could find that the Christ had been born, and all who heard it were amazed at their message. They were witnesses to the fulfillment of God's greatest promise. Was born, wise men or magi from the east followed the light of the star first to Jerusalem and then on to Bethlehem. This fulfilled prophecy from Isaiah 60, which says, "Rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you. For look, darkness covers the earth, and total darkness the peoples. But the Lord will shine over you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your radiance. Raise your eyes and look around. They all gather and come to you. They will carry gold and frankincense and proclaim the praises of the Lord. These wise men came to offer their worship and gifts to the light of the world. After enduring the physical exhaustion of childbirth and the unexpected appearance of the shepherds, Mary, finally alone, made it a point to remember all she had seen and heard. She meditated and pondered her experiences. Becoming a new mother is always overwhelming. There are so many questions about what to do and how and when to do it. No new mother wants to make a mistake with her precious child. Mary had the added pressure of knowing that this was God's son. At times, she must have been overwhelmed. However, she also knew that she was being obedient to God's purpose for her life, and he had cared and guided her and Joseph all along the way. Her journey thus far had only confirmed that she didn't need to know all the answers as long as she followed God's plan.
Thank you.
Of all the myriad promises God made in His Word concerning His Son that we can examine and find fulfilled, there is one promise that the Son made concerning Himself that is freely available to all who would believe. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. God still offers all who will turn to Him the promise of His love, presence, and guidance in our lives.
Thank you.
We can't hardly wrap our heads around a man God who would say, Father, for their sins, you need a lamb. Father, you need a lamb to pay the debt for their sins. Father, I'll go. I'll do it. I'll wear skin. I'll live as a man. And I'll go to the cross as a sacrificial lamb. Father, I'll go. I'll go. We sing today to celebrate his coming. We sing today to marvel at his love. We sing today to worship him. A great, great gift. Part of our worship is giving. This is primarily for our First Baptist folks. This is our opportunity to tithe and to give to our mortgage payment. Those of you who get are welcome to give, but you're not pushed to. First Baptist folks, you're pushed to. You're pushed to. Ushers, if you will, make your way to the front. John Palacios, will you voice our usher's prayer?
Let us pray. Father God, when your precious son became a tiny baby in a stable in Bethlehem, in poverty and simplicity, you changed our world. As we imagine those surroundings, we join with the shepherds and with the wise men in wonder and praise. We thank you for our material lives, praise you for our spiritual lives, and trust in you for our eternal life. Bless this tithes and offerings. May they be used for the glory of your kingdom. We pray this in the great name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate many, many people who make this possible. I'm not going to forget the tech crew because they could turn off the mic. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your service for this event and all through the year. We appreciate all you do. We couldn't have church without you. And thank you to our company, Deanie and who helped the course of the year take care of us. Ben Wooker, who does a tireless job with the orchestra and everywhere else. My secretary, the pastor's secretary, Debbie Bennett, who keeps me straight. We're blessed. Is this one more? Oh, holy moly. Anyway, okay, so thanks to our faithful choir who over so many years, this is our 25th Christmas here. They haven't abandoned us, so appreciate so much your work. And Danny, thank you for being our narrator this year. We appreciate it. And if there's somebody else I'm supposed to acknowledge, I can't remember. So, thank you.
Wait. Choir, stand up. You did a great job. Everybody in the choir, stand up. Yay, way to go. Orchestra, we know some of you we don't know. All of you did a great job. Orchestra, stand up. Let's acknowledge you. Orchestra, stand up. Way to go. Thank you. No kidding. You really did great. Daniel Reclue. Great job. You're not through yet. You're not through yet. I was asked if we wanted to have an invitation. I said no. I'm changing that. Can you get back up here? You know, one of the things that I recognized a long time ago is that God moves mightiest when I don't preach. I mean, I can write a barnstormer of a sermon and I can come in here and give it my best, nothing. I can sit here on this front pew and God moves in the hearts of people. Well, this morning I've been sitting here on this front pew and it occurred to me, you know what, there may be people here who have a decision to make. If you have a decision to make for the Lord this morning, listen, can you just come this morning? Do they know anything we can sing along with?
I bet we can do I Surrender All.
Okay, can we do I Surrender All? We can do Born in Bethlehem if that. You can just lead us if you want to. Let's all stand. If you would make a decision for Christ this morning, would you come now?